All right, if you've listened this far, you know the deal. The book that came out of this podcast is called How the Internet Happened, From Netscape to the iPhone by me, available wherever fine books are sold. Also, the podcast I do these days is called The Tech Meme Ride Home. Search any podcast app for Ride Home, and you should find The Tech Meme Ride Home, which is all the day's tech news every weekday in just 15 minutes. If you like this show, you'll love that one.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Welcome to the Internet History Podcast. I'm your host, Brian McCullough. Well, you guys definitely came through for me. This is Chapter 2, Supplemental Episode 1, an interview with Hadi Partovi, one of the original members of Microsoft's Internet Explorer team. In addition to being one of the original 9 people on the Internet Explorer project, Hadi Partovi has had quite a distinguished career. He left Microsoft in the late 1990s to found Telme Networks, which was eventually acquired by Microsoft for $800 million. This precipitated a second stint at Microsoft, where he was the general manager of MSN.com during MSN's only year of profit, and where he incubated Start.com, which became Live.com, which now points to Microsoft's online Outlook efforts. After leaving Microsoft a second time, he joined up with his brother Ari to found iLike, which was eventually purchased by MySpace, and both Partovi brothers worked for a time as senior vice presidents at MySpace. In addition to all of this, Hadi and Ari were early investors in Zappos, Facebook, and Dropbox, among others, and served as advisors to Facebook and still serve as advisors to Dropbox. I have a link to an article, an interview with the Partovi brothers on the website on the post page for this episode. Hadi is currently the founder and CEO of Code.org, a nonprofit working to help schools teach coding to students around the world. Clearly, Hadi is a busy man, and I was only just able to squeeze this interview into his schedule. So I apologize if this interview seems a bit rushed, but I was trying to hit all of my bases without going over the time frame that Hadi was generous enough to agree to. There are going to be more interviews in the coming weeks with additional IE and Microsoft people. And so for now, after the jump, an interview with Hadi Partovi. Hadi Partovi, thanks for coming on the Internet History Podcast.
Thank you very much.
I know it's more than 20 years ago now, but can you tell me a little bit about when you joined Microsoft?
I first joined as a summer intern in 1991, and I joined full-time in 1994.
And when you joined full time, was that what projects were you working on, or what groups were you working with?
When I first joined, in the first year or so, I was on the interactive television service, something which never actually really shipped a product. But I quickly thereafter joined the Internet Explorer team.
Right. So, can you tell me a little bit about when you first heard about the project that became Internet Explorer? Thomas Reardon tends to get credit for starting the project, and Ben Slivka
gets credit for the memo urging Microsoft to develop a browser for Windows 95. Do you remember how the project came about within Microsoft?
So I wasn't there for the very beginning of those of the work that they did. I joined after the Spyglass browser had been licensed. So I joined after IE 1.0 had shipped, and basically the team was getting started working on IE 1.1 and simultaneously on Internet Explorer 2.0. But, you know, in the very early days, Microsoft just realized the web is a big deal. Actually, not all of Microsoft realized that, but the group that was the Internet Explorer group, which was basically Reardon, Ben Slifka, and a handful of people, sort of Chris Jones, Jay Allard, I think those four people collectively realized that this internet thing is going to be a big deal and started the conversations with different browser providers to try to get a browser into Windows. And the initial version of Internet Explorer was basically a third-party software that was licensed and then basically branded to look like Windows, and with a handful of integration parts to integrate it with key operating system features such as desktop shortcuts and things like that. But the team at the time was incredibly small. I joined after the IE 1.0 project shipped, and at the time the team was 9 people.
And IE 1.0, was it just essentially the Spyglass code, and they just put it out just to have something out there?
I don't know how you'd compare this, sort of how much, but it was, yeah, predominantly the Spyglass code with Windows integration.
And it came initially as a part of the Plus Pack for Windows 95, right?
I believe it was also integrated in to the original as well, but mm-hmm. I'm not certain, to be honest.
And so are you working... So the 1.0 comes out in August of 95, and then really quickly after that, 2.0 comes out in November. Were you a part of the 2.0 project?
Correct.
So can you tell me a little bit about what you guys are trying to do, you know, now that you're starting to, I'm assuming that the team quickly grows to more than 9 people. Are you just trying to get parity with what Netscape is doing at the time as quickly as possible?
Yeah, I mean, at that point, Internet Explorer had, I think, 4% share. You know, there's a lot of people who say that inclusion in the operating system made it immediately win. But the reality is it was at that point included in the Windows 95 operating system and had zero share because, frankly, the product was way behind Netscape. Internet Explorer at that point didn't support tables. There were so many features that it didn't support. It didn't support iframes. Netscape had just come out with things like Java support, plugins support, you know, so iframes, Java, plugins, these dramatically changed the interactiveness of what was possible on a web page. And Internet Explorer, meanwhile, had very rudimentary HTML support. So we were at least a year behind and a much smaller team. And our goal was to make a browser that was better for consumers, equally compatible as far as web developers are concerned, and then also added enough features that we could hopefully at least win the hearts and minds of developers for the next round of developer-centric features. So it was a seemingly impossible task given how far behind we were.
In 2.0, I think you're starting to add things like, you know, what seems rudimentary now, but things like SSL and cookies and things like that.
Yeah.
But it's not till 3.0 that you're starting to... 3.0 comes out about a year later. And that starts to get really innovative stuff for the time, like, you know, autocomplete and CSS. I spoke to Chris Wilson about adding CSS and dynamic HTML and things like that. How quickly were you guys able to feel like, you know, we're going to start innovating new things, inventing new things for browsers ourselves?
Well, 3.0 was the version that started, I think, not just catching up, but also inventing. There may have been things in 2.0 that were slightly unique, but I wouldn't call them major inventions, personally. you know, for example, there's examples of operating system integration that I don't think were unheard of. It was basically adding bookmarks to the desktop. But in 3.0, that was really a complete ground-up rewrite, not only of Internet Explorer, but of huge parts of internal Windows inner workings to integrate Internet Explorer with parts of the operating system, and also to make the whole thing object-oriented so that the web browser itself was an object that could be used inside other apps, and other apps worked as objects that could work inside the web browser. This is basically what enabled things like Shockwave Flash, and which is now known as Adobe Flash, mm-hmm. to thrive. There was many different plugins that basically built on this model. And also the fact that we made the browser itself a plugin that others could use meant that companies such as America Online ended up using Internet Explorer as the default browser for AOL. And there's many other companies that basically ended up using Internet Explorer built in around their own app to add web browsing inside another app.
Right, and eventually the Internet Explorer is integrated into Windows itself, into the shell, right?
Correct.
Is that later down the road?
Yeah, full shell integration as well as full dynamic HTML and, I guess, full CSS. All of those came in the IE 4.0 release. IE 3.0 had some CSS and some operating system integration, but not the full shell integration nor the full DHTML.
How much of a sense of competition with what Netscape was doing did people on the Internet Explorer team feel? I've seen, I saw an interview with you where you talked about putting pictures of the Netscape team on the wall as motivation and things like that. How much was competition a motivating factor for you guys at that point?
Competition was a huge driver. There was a couple things going on. We were a very small team. I think even the IE 3.0 team had grown. It was, I think, about 50 people or so. But still, it was a far smaller team than Netscape, and trying to catch up on a company that was the darling of the internet. And, you know, the whole concept, the word internet time was basically coined around what Netscape was doing and how fast they were moving. And then we were trying to go even faster than that with a smaller team. So it was crazy competitive to catch up. Just the level of sleep-deprived nights that we had doing that is something I hope I never have to go to again. But in terms of the competitiveness, I ended up taking quotes from Jim Barksdale and Mark Andreessen and posting the entire hallways of the Internet Explorer team with them. You know, there were things like Mark Andreessen had said something like, you know, when we're done with our work, Windows is going to be a poorly debugged bag of device drivers, mm-hmm. you know, meaning that the entire Microsoft company will go down because of Netscape. Where he said, you know, that in a battle, but this is a battle between an elephant and a tiger, and now Microsoft has stepped on our turf, meaning effectively they have the upper hand. I think Jim Barksdale had said something like, God is on our side in this. There was very strong comments that both those folks had made, saying effectively that they were going to crush Microsoft, you know, which I think is kind of a bad thing to do as a strategy, mm-hmm. Just because those helped me to rally our team to say, look, these folks at this startup are looking to put our entire company out of existence. And it gave this very, very small team a sense that there's less than 100 of us, and it's our job to rescue Microsoft from this attack. And I think there was certainly a degree of arrogance in those quotes that riled people up to work harder.
You're describing, you know, that you're working, you know, long hours and sleeping under your desk and things like that. Was the IE team sort of functioning almost in a startup mode, kind of?
It was completely in a startup mode. In fact, I don't think I've seen any startup work as hard as the Internet Explorer team worked in those days, which is an extreme thing to say because Microsoft was a public company with a multi-billion-dollar valuation.
Right. Was that by design? Was that set up that way because you felt like you had to compete with this, quote, internet time?
Part of it is we literally couldn't hire quickly enough to grow the team. And part of it was that between Ben Slivka, Chris Jones, and myself, and Thomas Reardon, the four of us basically created such a sense of urgency that people, we set unachievable dates and then dared our team to try to make them because that was the only way the company would survive. A very, very small team of really top-grade people given an incredibly difficult goal can motivate to achieve the impossible, and that's a little bit of what we did.
I kind of want to go a little bit more into this. As I've said to you, the Netscape team, the original Mosaic team, is kind of a little more well-known, but like you've said that, Microsoft recruited really some of the sharpest talent that you ever worked with for the IE team. So can you speak some more about the people that made this happen, like the Brad Silverbergs and people like that put together this team that was able to make this happen so quickly?
Sure. I mean, the people who I would consider the executives, which are basically vice presidents or above, were people like Paul Moritz, Brad Silverberg, John Ludwig. But then, the meat of the team was, I think, individuals, folks like a guy named Sam McKelvey, who's now a chief architect at Amazon on the AWS service, or a college hire, Phil Bogle, who was straight out of college then, but he was in charge of, he and Sam together wrote our entire JavaScript support. Phil went on to be the chief technology officer at a startup and is now an architect at Google. Many, many individuals who worked as individual contributors on the Internet Explorer team are now either CTO level or director level engineers elsewhere. Raymond Endres, who ended up becoming a director at Facebook now. So some of these folks stayed at Microsoft, but a whole bunch went on to other companies, either to found companies or to become CTO level or director level or architect level people at Facebook, Google, Amazon. So, and when the team was small, it was, tens of people, and we were working hard enough. I remember, at 4 a.m., regularly at 4 a.m., I'd walk down the hallway and ask who wants to have a game of foosball just to, wake ourselves up before we go back to work. And most people don't think of playing foosball at 4 a.m. For us, that was the middle of the evening get together to wake up and then continue working, which is insane if you think about most people's work hours.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then we'd go to sleep at 6 and start work again at 9 or 10 in the morning.
Another quote that I read that you said that you guys had the sense that here you are at this multi-billion-dollar company and it's potentially going to lose its future unless you could get ahead of the internet wave. Did you have a strong sense that you guys were the tip of the spear in terms of Microsoft's, strategy change to embrace the internet and everything that involved?
Absolutely. Bill Gates had sent a memo to the entire company saying every single group in the company, if you don't have an internet strategy yet or a strategy for how we effectively win in this new world, you need to develop one. And if you don't have a strategy for how you help the Internet Explorer team, you need to develop one. And I actually ended up becoming the point person for hundreds of groups at Microsoft saying, how can we help? How can we help? How can we help? It was very clear that the most important objective for the entire company was to win the browser wars. And so when you have a very small team of people recognizing, at a company of tens of thousands, we were a very, very small part of the company, but working on what clearly was not only the most important thing going on in the company, but possibly the most important thing going on in the industry at that time.
As you mentioned, even with IE2, you only have around 5% of the browser market, but even by 1997 with IE3, it's still only around 30%. It's not even until around early 1999 with IE4.0 that the market numbers totally shift and suddenly, you've got the majority of the market. It's 60% for Internet Explorer. Is IE4.0, that's when you really felt like that not only had you reached parity, but now your IE is doing the best browser in the world at that point?
I personally think IE5 was the point where it became the best browser. IE4 and Navigator 4 both got into a feature war with each other, adding a whole bunch of things that users didn't really want. And they were more features that both sides added to generate press articles about them. So things like, and you may or may not remember, things like the Active Desktop on the mm-hmm. Windows side of things, mm-hmm. or Netscape Constellation, which was their response. You know, mm-hmm. these are actually a whole bunch of things that on the IE5 project, part of my goal was to actually rip those things out and remove them and disable them. And, you know, for the Internet Explorer 5 project, the mantra I set for the team was making everything half as small, twice as stable, and twice as fast. And those aren't necessarily what you think of as features, but at the time when web browsers were slow and buggy, bloated, making our browser double the speed, half the size, and much more stable and less likely to just crash on you were the most important things we could add. And we achieved that with Internet Explorer 5. It was literally 100 times more stable than Netscape Navigator, and I think that's what sort of sealed the deal in terms of the browser market share.
And you leave Microsoft after 5.0 to start the Tell Me Networks, correct?
That's correct. And what's, by the way, fascinating about that is that Tell Me Networks, I teamed up with Mike McHugh and Angus mm-hmm. Davis and John Gianandrea from the Netscape team. And actually our investors included Brad Silverberg from Microsoft and Jim Barksdale from Netscape. So it was a really interesting coming together of former, competitors to do something together.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
There's that famous Quora thread about, you know, why did IE seemingly go downhill in terms of features and stability and things like that in the early 2000s, and I saw that you commented on there as well. Obviously, you can't speak to not being around on the team and things like that, but can you go a little more into why you think maybe Microsoft took resources away? Was it essentially because they felt like they had won, that battle's over, and so there are other fish to fry at this point?
Yeah, by far the biggest reason, I think, is that Microsoft, once it won the browser wars, it didn't think, now what can we do to really take web browsing to the next level and make it even better? Instead, they said, oh my gosh, look at this giant company called AOL that is taking over online access to content, and that became Microsoft's new online sort of enemy. And I think certainly at the time, if not now, Microsoft really defined itself more around who it was competing with rather than what it wanted to do. And so competition with Netscape was effectively over. Netscape had been acquired by AOL, and at this point Microsoft started shifting its focus to how to get the MSN business to compete with AOL. And that, as you may know, led down, you know, first competing with AOL and then competing with Yahoo and then competing with Google.
Right.
But that whole chain of events, the team that was originally Internet Explorer, some of them went on to work on the next version of Windows, which was Vista. Some of them worked on the next version of MSN, which was MSN Explorer. And a small shell of the team remained just to maintain Internet Explorer and, you know, keep it up to date with Windows look and feel and do security bugs and so on. It's not that the team was completely disbanded, but, you know, this was an amazingly all-star team, and pretty much many of the stars shifted around to new places or considered taking new roles. And that's part of why, I was going to leave the team regardless of whether I left the company or not.
As a final question, I think that partially because of that taking away of resources and maybe not upgrading the product and things like that, that IE has obviously suffered in a lot of people's minds in terms of reputation. But, you know, there was a long period of time there, late 1990s, early 2000s, where Internet Explorer is, you know, the best of breed of that software market. So I wonder if you, you know, looking back now, 20 years, 15 years, do you feel like IE is, has gotten sort of a short shrift in people's minds because all they remember is the bad years?
That's definitely true. If you ask the average web developer right now about Internet Explorer, they mainly think painful thoughts about how difficult it is to make websites work with the older versions of IE. What they don't think through is, you know, the older versions of IE achieved so much share because they were so good at the time. And they're good enough that the users using those systems are slow to upgrade because they don't feel enough of a need to upgrade. You know, at the time when IE5 came out, you know, people today look at Internet Explorer 5 or 6 as being less compatible with CSS or cascading style sheets or dynamic HTML or AJAX. What they don't realize is the team that built those things actually invented those technologies. You know, Internet Explorer, our team was the most active team at the, you know, at the W3C standards bodies on defining the future of the HTML standard, the future of how JavaScript worked with HTML pages, defining the XML standard, all of these things. Not only Internet Explorer wasn't behind that, it was literally leading the way for these things, and these standards were defined. But unfortunately, after Netscape as a competitor sort of faded into the sunset, the team stopped pushing the envelope. And, you know, efforts like Mozilla came along, took those same specs, and then implemented them more fully. And then once those full implementations were around, the, you know, the highly popular Internet Explorer didn't meet, didn't, you know, fully, wasn't fully compatible with those later specs.
Well, Hadi, thank you for filling us in on the Internet Explorer side of that time period.
Thank you very much for your time.
And thank you for coming on the show.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.